It's a new year. You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. Welcome back to Ariane Marcy, Executive Director of El Paso Opera, to talk about the opera taking place this month, next week, January 10th and 11th, the very famous Pagliacci. Welcome back, Ariane.
Thank you.
So this is an opera. The composer is maybe not known for anything else,
right?
Ruggero Leoncavallo, except Pagliacci. It's so beloved and it's so famous, and it's a little bit of a shorter opera, as I recall.
It is. Pagliacci is often shown as a double bill, but because it's about 90 minutes, it's a very small cast. It's very intimate, but that's we've chosen to do it by itself because we wanted to stage it. It's a traditional opera that we're staging in a very untraditional way, and so it was perfect for this intimate setting that we're doing.
All right, let's talk about the venue first, then we can talk more about the opera.
Okay, so it's going to be at St. Roger's Depot, which is a brand new venue in El Paso, so you've probably never heard the name of it. However, it is a building that anyone who's driven through downtown El Paso has seen repeatedly. It's an old depot that is right at downtown and I-10 as you head east, and it was built in 1903, and it's had many, many variations as to what it's been. In the most recent decade, it's been a couple different nightclubs, a restaurant. And then for a chunk of years, it's been vacant. This past year, some local real estate developers have purchased it and are restoring it to be an event venue. And so they're pouring in some love and attention to the building that's needed it for a number of years, and restoring it to what we say, it's restoring it to its grandeur. It's going to be beautiful. And so it's adding just another location in downtown El Paso. So we are using it as what we're calling a found space. It is not a theater. It's not an opera hall, but we're creating an opera pop-up theater inside the venue space.
I love that for Pagliacci, because right. Let's talk a little bit about the opera. It's a play within a play that's unfolding, and it's based on the Italian Commedia dell'arte, which were these characters which often would just do
right.
these, what we would now call like a flash mob performance.
Flash mob, yeah.
They would just show up in a piazza in Italy and do these performances for people. And that's happening inside the play, and then there's all this love, jealousy,
right.
drama
right.
happening outside of that, within the Pagliacci. So the fact that you're doing it at a pop-up space kind of historically,
it
really works.
It works perfectly. It really does. And like you said, that it was the perfect space to do something like this. It's very intimate. It seats only, I think we've ticketed 310. There is a stage that we have erected in the middle of the space, and the seats are theater style around it. So when the performers enter and exit the stage, they are winding their way through the audience. When the chorus members play the townsfolk getting ready for the show, these chorus members are literally in amongst all of our audience getting ready for the show, telling you, be quiet, sit down, get ready, it's coming. And so it really is, it's just the perfect space for it. It's going to be so cool. And you're talk about being up close and personal for, like you said, there's all sorts of love and drama that's happening between the different characters. You have a husband and wife, and you have a spurned lover, and you have someone manipulating everybody behind the scenes, and another performer who just wants everybody to get along and keep everybody happy and keep the show going, and all of those different dynamics and those different personalities coming together also on stage to put on their own show. So it's just so rich with content and with storytelling.
Yeah, and it has a couple of the most famous arias, which we'll probably play one of after this interview. But it's also interesting because it's totally a tragedy. There's these, as with often with tragic opera, you know, bodies littered on the
right.
stage.
It
at
is
the
opera.
End.
There's always a little tragedy sprinkled in.
But it's inside it is this Commedia dell'arte, and as I remember, the last line is something like, thus ends the comedy.
The comedy is over.
It is over. Yeah, and of course, it's the comedy of life, which is really kind of the tragedy of life. So it plays on that whole notion of tragedy.
What's even more interesting is as we've gotten into it, because I'm lucky enough that I get to kind of sit in on the rehearsals and just I sit there kind of fangirling as I watch them work on it, and they talk about it, they discuss, and they stage, and they practice the different arias, and it's a wonderful backdrop for me doing my work. But the topic of it is still so timely. I mean, we're looking at something that was written such a long time ago, and yet if you look at a tumultuous domestic relationship and a man having control over a woman and a woman feeling like she has nowhere to turn, and it's just such a timely topic, especially with kind of the reckoning that the entertainment industry is having with the Me Too movement and with having the powerful men having such control over the women who don't have it. And so you see that playing out on stage in something that's written, you know, over a century ago, and realize it is still applicable to what's happening today. And that's also been really cool in watching how they workshop it, you know. What was this written as, but also what can we take from, because it's taking place in modern times for our production. And so it's like how it can be transported and still be relevant today. It's fascinating. It's fascinating.
You mentioned earlier, it's a very small cast, I think five people. Who's performing?
So for our Canio, our main tenor is Corey Bix. He's got a great resume, including some Met credits coming up. So we're lucky to have him as our main character. Arnetha, who is his wife, her name is Amber Monroe. She's a rising star coming out of Cincinnati, who is just... Oh, God, listening to her, even when in rehearsal, when she's not singing full force, and it's still amazing. And it's the real interesting juxtaposition between them. Also, he's very tall, and she's, I think, maybe 5'2". So it even plays into, even their body shape and size plays into that power element that is important in the plot of the show. Our Silvio is Antonio Cruz, who again is another rising star from originally from Tucson, currently at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. And then our cast is rounded out with two locals that are tremendous performers that have have credits around the world, and we're just lucky that they're based here in the El Paso Las Cruces area. Artonio is Levi Hernandez. He was our Papageno for last year's Magic Flute. He is based in El Paso, but has, you know, this fall was at Chicago Lyric Opera, I think for Barbara of Seville, and just last week closed the new Milagro Mariachi Opera in Houston Grand Opera. So he's all over the place and doing tremendous work, and we were thrilled that his schedule had a little pocket that we could have him as Artonio, who's kind of the one manipulating if there is an evil or a bad guy. I think Tonio is kind of manipulating everybody and has the anger that then is portrayed through someone else, I will say. But and then lastly, we have our Beppe is Brian Downen, who again is another El Paso bass performer. He's a part of voice instructor, voice faculty at UTEP, but he also performs around the world, has Met credits. He's about to do... Magic Flute in Cambodia. He's all over again, and we are just thrilled to have him as our Beppe, the one who's kind of the middle child, trying to keep everybody together, keep everybody keep the troupe from falling apart because of its drama, getting everybody in their place on time, and kind of providing some of that comic relief there.
And do you pull together an orchestra for each opera?
So for this one, if it is the full staged grand opera, we use the full El Paso Symphony Orchestra. For these found space operas, these are chamber operas, which are, you know, if you had a full orchestra, it would drown out. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have a reduced orchestration that is a wind quintet plus percussion and piano.
Nice.
So It's a orchestration that our music director, Kathy Kelly, found and that she's very excited about. But again, for these found spaces, those reducer orchestrations really kind of hit what we need, you know, hit the perfect spot and help elevate it to where we want it to be without drowning out the performers in those spaces. It's interesting, chamber or operas and using these reduced orchestrations are kind of the new wave of the opera field. We had great success with it with our chamber opera, Hansel and Gretel, 2 years ago, and are very excited about the Pagliacci one next week. But it does seem to be some... we seem to be on par with what many other companies are trying.
Yeah, I think there's a trend in the whole classical music world because there are all these performers who are creating little pop-up spaces, sometimes just showing up in bars and
right.
other places to
right.
just perform and to just broaden the availability.
Absolutely.
Of the music.
You know, gone are the days where you put something one day on a big stage and people come. That's not the way the world works anymore. We are so rich with entertainment, which mm-hmm. is wonderful as consumers, mm-hmm. but as producers, we then have to find a way to make ourselves heard in that rich environment. And so taking the art into different spaces, into different venues, different buildings, different sizes. Our production last April was the full grand stage on the Abraham Chavez that mm-hmm. seats 2,500. And now this next one is the chamber opera, where it's two nights seating 310. And so we try to vary it. We try to vary our options of what we're offering, but also those spaces, going into those different spaces is vitally important. And every time we do it, it is successful.
It's wonderful to see El Paso Opera just thriving in this way and envisioning these different spaces and different ways to produce the opera.
You know, it's exciting, and certain ones work in certain places. But again, coming back to Pagliacci, when we sat there and we thought, what do we want to present this year? We haven't done a traditional in a while. We want to go back, tragedy in a while. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to a tragedy. Let's go back to one of those beloved names everybody knows and that it's in pop culture. I mean, Seinfeld right. has a whole plot line because of it. So we knew we wanted to do Pagliacci, and then it was finding the space and the way to make it current and make it our own. And again, the idea of having the audience the performers wind through the audience, having that chorus be part of our audience members and sitting amongst them, it just adds this whole level of excitement to it. And that's when we knew we'd found the right spot.
So speaking of pop-up venues, El Paso Opera also this year are doing these pop-up Fridays.
Yes.
And just tell us a little bit and let people know how they can find these pop-up with local singers. And,
yes. Yeah. We have this year, it's a whole new initiative. We have what we call our resident singers. We held auditions and selected the crop that we wanted to represent us in all of these different places for the season. And with our resident singers, we now do first Fridays. And we are doing pop-up free performances throughout the El Paso area the first Friday of every month. So, for instance, this week we have two performers who will be at the VA hospital. In February, I know we are at a local retirement home that has an area for performances up in Monta Vista on Belvedere on the west side. But we look at these as twofold. And some of the previous ones we've had this season have been at the airport or at the library. We're going into public spaces. We aren't charging anything. We are taking art into places that perhaps don't always have performing arts in them. And the airport one that we did for First Fridays of December was really cool because it was in the arrival section. Mm-hmm. And one of the ladies that was there said that she loved it so much because she could watch people come down the escalators and watch on their face go like, you know, a quizzical look, like what's going on, who is there. And then once she realized what it was, a smile on their face, and then they would cut off. They would greet their whoever was meeting them, but then they would linger and listen. Mm-hmm. And she said it was wonderful watching everybody enjoy the art. And so it added another level to her enjoyment. And I just thought that was perfect because that's exactly what we want. The airport hopefully is a happy place, but sometimes people are returning home for their own tragedies or their own crises. And so we're bringing some beauty into that sterile environment, and we love that. And so again, the VA, oftentimes you're not there by choice. You're not there for good things. And so we can bring some beauty into those spaces.
And how do people find out where the First Friday pop-ups are happening?
So we have it on our website. And then also the week or leading up to it, it'll be on our social media. So right now, and I apologize, I don't have the list for March, April, and May memorized yet. But I know that that's January and February, and those are listed on our website, which is epopera.org. Or follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and they'll be posted there.
And can the public show up at any of these places?
Absolutely. There's no RSVP. There's no ticket. There's, you know, which is, for us, you never know if you're performing to one person or you're performing to 50. But either way, we feel strongly that there is benefit to doing these. And the response has been really good. Because, again, using the VA or retirement home as an example, some of those people can't get to our performances. They may love our music, but they can't. They can't sit for that extended period of time. They can't physically get to a venue. And so we go to them.
And are you using local singers?
We are. Our resident artists are. We have two that are from Las Cruces. Heather Dials and Annie Pennies are both Las Cruces based. Our other five are El Paso based. And so it rotates who the singers are. For instance, I do know Heather Dials is this week with Taylor Troila Kidon. Who's singing with her. And then we have a resident pianist because we always have the accompaniment with them. And so sometimes we have our keyboard, like the VA, they don't have a piano in the middle of their waiting room, of course. So we bring a keyboard, we set up so that everyone can enjoy it. Places like the library or Monta Vista have pianos. So there's always that element to it as well.
Hmm. My guest has been Ariane Marcy, Executive Director of El Paso Opera. So lots of opportunities. First Friday of every month, there are pop-up concerts around El Paso. And this month, Pagliacci, Friday, January 10th, Saturday, January 11th at 7:30, both performances at St. Rogers Depot.
Yes, and I'd like to mention that it is general admission, so all seats are $39 plus fee, so it's a very reasonable ticket price. But because it's general admission, we're opening the doors at 6:30. So if you have a preference as to where you sit, we'll have the doors open an hour early. You can come in and claim your spot and then, you know, have a drink and enjoy the run-up to the show.
Thank you so much for coming in, Ariane.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.